As we turn our attention to the preaching of God's word, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 30. It's Job chapter 30, and if you're using your pew Bibles, you should find this on page 553. And this is Job chapter 30. Hear now the word of God. But now they laugh at me, men who are younger than I, whose fathers I would have disdained to set with the dogs of my flock. What could I gain from the strength of their hands, men whose vigor is gone? Through want and hard hunger they gnaw the dry ground by night in waste and desolation. They pick saltwort and the leaves of bushes, and the roots of the broom tree for their food. They are driven out from human company. They shout after them as after a thief. In the gullies of the torrents they must dwell, in holes of the earth and of the rocks. Among the bushes they bray, under the nettles they huddle together. A senseless, a nameless brood, they have been wiped out of the land. And now I have become their song. I am a byword to them. They abhor me. They keep aloof from me. They do not hesitate to spit at the sight of me, because God has loosed my cord and humbled me. They have cast off restraint in my presence. On my right hand the rabble rise. They push away my feet. They cast up against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path. They promote my calamity. They need no one to help them. As through a wide breach they come, and the crash they roll on. Amid the crash they roll on. Terrors are turned upon me. My honor is pursued as by the wind. My prosperity has passed away like a cloud. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold of me. The night racks my bones, and the pain that gnaws me takes no rest. With great force my garment is disfigured. It binds me about like the collar of my tunic. God has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry to you for help, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you only look at me. You have turned cruel to me. With the might of your hand you persecute me. You lift me up on the wind. You make me ride on it. You toss me about in the roar of the storm. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. It does not one in a heap of ruins stretch out his hand and in his disaster cry for help? Did I not weep for him whose day was hard? Was not my soul grieved for the needy? But when I hoped for good, evil came. And when I waited for light, darkness came. My inward parts are in turmoil and never still. Days of affliction come to meet me. I go about darkened, but not by the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry for help. I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. My skin turns black and falls from me, and my bones burn with heat. My lyre is turned to mourning, and my pipe to the voice of those who weep. So ends our reading of God's word this morning. May he bless the reading of his word and the preaching of his word as well. Well, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Job 29. And in Job 29, if you recall, Job is recounting the great glory that he had, the righteousness displayed in his life. And we looked at how that points us to the righteous one in Christ. And it was again a reminder about how this book of Job is really in his sufferings, appointing to Christ, the righteous one, who suffered, who did nothing to deserve the suffering that he endured, but yet he went willingly to the cross. Well, chapter 30 as 29 was of the former glory of Job. Chapter 30 is Job's recounting his current state and the pain and the suffering and the humility that he is experiencing in his current condition. Now, as we look at these words, we are again reminded of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are again reminded of his sufferings. We are again reminded of what he endured on our behalf. Now, as we look at these words and we see that Job is really suffering in isolation, there are words of encouragement for us, words of comfort in this recounting of Job's sufferings. And it's simply this, that as a child of God, you will never suffer in isolation. As a child of God, you will never suffer in isolation. We are social creatures, and even those of us who are introverts still like human contact from time to time. We don't like being alone, especially when we're suffering. We don't like being in isolation. We want someone to come alongside to give us comfort. And that is a true and genuine comfort that we have as children of God, is that in our deepest and darkest moments of suffering, that we truly are not in isolation. We truly are not alone. But we do have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by our side. Even if men, all men or women, abandon us, the truth is that we, as God's children, are never alone. So that's the point we'll be looking at this morning. And through this text, we'll be looking at it in 4 points. We'll be seeing how this text points us to Christ and then the comfort that that can bring. So in the first 10 verses, we see that the righteous one was ridiculed by even the lowest of the world. We see as Job recounts, as, you know, looking back at chapter 29, first of all, how the prestige that he received in the gate. You know, he recounted how the young and the old alike, the poor and the wealthy, all rejoiced at Job. They would cover their mouths when he would want to speak so that they wouldn't interrupt him. They gave him such glory, such esteem, such respect. But here we see that now they laugh at me, men who are younger than I. You know, in our day and age, we've lost a little bit of the idea of the young generation giving the older generation great respect. You know, as a society, we've come to glorify in the young and the vigor of youth. And the wisdom of the aged have been pushed to the wayside. I can even remember recently, or last year sometime, I saw a video feed popped up in my Facebook page. This group set up cameras, and it seems kind of odd to us, but they set up cameras where they introduced 20-somethings to those who were in their 60s and their 70s and even 80s. And it was really kind of the first time that these individuals who were in their 20-somethings had any dealing with those of this former generation. And it was amazing to see the surprise. You know, and many of these young people, life seemed to end after 50. I mean, it was just, nothing was there. But when we have this one young person trying to do the yoga moves that this 70-year-old is doing and being humbled by the flexibility that she has, she sees and gains a greater respect for the aged. That life doesn't end after 49. It continues on. And we need to gain that back. We need to be respectful of our elders. We need to show that respect due to them. We may not know them, but simply for the fact that they are of the former generation, we need to show the older generation respect. And this was especially, I heard that, Don. And this was especially in Job's age. It was a huge issue if a young person did not give an older person respect. And here Job says, these young people are laughing at me. They laugh at me now. And they're not only young people, but they're those of children of those who Job wouldn't associate with, of worthless fellows. He then spends verses 2 and on describing the worthlessness of these individuals. These fathers of these young people that are laughing at him. They have been cast out of society. They are the lowest of the low. But their children are not giving Job the respect that he deserves, simply as an older man. He ends this section by saying how he has become their song, a byword to them. In Psalm 69, we read these words in Psalm 69, verse 12. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. Now, this psalm, Psalm 69, is speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's what we call a messianic psalm. And we see that how in verse 9, we read, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. This is brought to mind to Jesus' disciples in John chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus goes through and he clears the temple. We read in John chapter 2, verse 17, that they remembered zeal for his house would consume him. So this Psalm 69 speaks of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So then following that in verse 12, I am the talk of those who sit at the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. And then in verse 21 of Psalm 69, we read, they gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Again, showing that this speaks of Christ, this psalm. And we're reminded in this very similar thing in Job chapter 30, verse 9, I have become their song. This just drives home the fact that Job here is pointing us to Christ. And we need to remember that this chapter is a part of his discourse. Now, chapter 29, but also chapter 27 begins, and Job again took up his discourse. I want to remind you that the word discourse is the same meaning as a parable, a proverb. It shows that these words are words of instruction for us. And as we consider their instruction for us, we need to consider the one to whom they point us to. Jesus Christ endured the humiliation and suffering of the cross. He was the ridicule of the lowest of society. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered ridicule at all hands of society, all levels of society, even as he hung upon the cross. Among the two criminals, one mocked him. The other showed his faith. But the other one, as he hung, mocked our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the righteous one that Job points us to, we see, was ridiculed by the lowest of the world. Secondly, the righteous one had his cords loosed by God. In Job 30, beginning in verse 11, because God has loosed my cord and humbled me, they have cast off restraint in my presence. The word restraint there could be a bridle, a horse's bridle. Picture of a horse casting off what is used to bring them under control. But it's because God has loosed his cords and humbled him. And what does it mean when God loosed his cords, or when God might loose our cords? Well, back in this day, it was not uncommon for people to live in tents, tent dwellers, maybe elaborate tent system that they lived in. But the cords are what held fast their home, their structure, their livelihood. And so it's a figure of speech, in a sense, of someone's world, their whole life being turned upside down. Their whole world being leveled, destroyed. Now, if we consider verses 12 through 15, on my right hand a rabble rise, and they push away my feet, they cast up their ways of destruction, they break up my path, they promote my calamity. They need no one to help them. This again speaks of some of the things that Job suffered. You remember there were those that came and stole all of his goods. We also see quite literally, although Job didn't live in a tent, because his children were killed by a wind coming and destroying a house in which they were in. His tent, his cords were literally loosed. His life was in shambles and brought to nothing. But we also see in verses 16 through 15, not just the outward turmoil that Job endured, but in 16 to 18, we also see the internal turmoil. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold of me. The night racks my bones, and the pain that gnaws me takes no rest. With great force my garment is disfigured. It binds me about like the collar of my tunic. We sang earlier from Psalm 22. And in Psalm 22, verse 14, we read these words: I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. These words, Psalm 22, just as a reminder, is a psalm that, again, speaks of Christ. It shows us the very mind of Christ as he hung upon the cross. We'll sing a portion of it again here coming up and before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as he begins Psalm 22, the psalmist begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And these are the words that Jesus quoted as he hung upon the cross. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was humbled at the hand of his Father. He was put to the cross by the hand of God for our redemption. He was our sacrifice. And his anguish wasn't limited to the outward anguish that he experienced in humiliation, the ridicules that he experienced at those that passed by and mocked him as he hung upon the cross. But the internal turmoil of being forsaken by his heavenly Father. The depths of despair and suffering that he endured are unimaginable, both physically but also spiritually, as he literally endured hell for you and me, feeling the full weight of his Father's wrath. His cords were loosed. He was humbled by his Father for you and me. Thirdly, the righteous one was cast into the mire. In verses 19 through 23, we read, God has cast me into the mire and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry to you for help and you do not answer me. I stand and you only look at me. You have turned cruel to me. With the might of your hand you persecute me. You lift me up on the wind, you make me ride on it, and you toss me about in the roar of the storm. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all the living. Now, in the previous section, the cords being loosed, Job is recounting the hostility that he faced from those around him, from all levels of society. But then also at the hand of, or the inner turmoil that he experienced as well in his suffering. So in one sense, it was God using means to bring about that turmoil, that suffering. Here in this section, Job is recounting and crying out that this is the direct assault from God himself, his own hand. He cries out to God. He said, God has cast me into the mire and I've become like dust and ashes. But then he begins crying to God. He's crying to him for help. But God does not respond. He says that God has turned cruel to him and that the might of his hand persecutes Job. Now we know that even Job himself acknowledges that he is not perfect and wholly undeserving of what he has received. He makes a comment earlier in his dialogue that his former sins have caught up with him. But this turmoil that Job is experiencing again points us to the righteous one, Jesus Christ, who again in Psalm 22 verse 1 cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Crying out to his Father as he hung upon the cross. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus was cast into the mire. And mire refers to, clay. You can have the image of a deep, muddy pit as you're stuck in it and incapable of getting out. My mom recalls a time she was in the marching band in high school when they were, it was a particularly rainy game. And she was marching along and came to a muddy part in the field, and there goes her shoe. And she just kept marching without it. Mud, mire, muck. It's the image of a great muddy pit that we are stuck in, incapable of getting out. And Job recounts that he has been cast into this mire by God himself. And that shows us and it points us to the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who left the realms of glory, not having something forced upon him unwillingly, but willingly went, was sent by his Father, cast into the muck, into the mire. It's a symbol of uncleanness in the Scriptures, that we are covered in this mire, this filth, incapable of washing ourselves. And Christ took that filth on himself upon the cross. His Father placed our mire upon him, and instead placed his righteousness upon us. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was cast into the mire for his people. Now, as this chapter ends, we see that the righteous one suffers in isolation. This is Job chapter 30, verses 24 and following. He speaks in these words of how he reacted when people were in turmoil, when they were in suffering, how he came alongside them, how he helped. But here he is in the midst of his suffering, and he cries for help, and he receives no help from God, and he receives no help from man in this particular instance, as he's recounting this. He is alone. He is suffering in isolation. Now, this really only points to us the fact of Jesus' own suffering. If you consider as he hung upon the cross, forsaken by man, forsaken by God, he was completely isolated, completely alone. Any suffering that we go through is magnified exponentially when we are alone in that suffering, when we have no one to lean on, when we must bear it, as it seems, on our own shoulders. None of us have truly done that. But Christ did. He was truly, in every sense of the word, alone. And he bore that wretchedness for us. Now, as I say, we as children of God never have to suffer alone in isolation. It doesn't mean that if we suffer and no human being comes to our aid, that we don't feel isolated, that we don't feel alone, that we don't anguish, that none of our brothers and sisters have come alongside to help. But I hope that we can come along with or come away with is that as children of God, as we know the truth of what God has done for us in going to the cross for us, sending his Son, of suffering to the point of death upon the cross, of being forsaken of all the world, including his own Heavenly Father, we can realize and comprehend and grab hold of that truth when he says at the close of the Gospel of Matthew that, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Although the psalmist might say, "Though my mother and father forsake me, you, Lord, do not." That when we go through sufferings and we feel isolated, let us understand the lie that that is. And know that our Heavenly Father, our God, has not forsaken us. He is with us, always. Because he forsook his Son on our behalf. Because Jesus was forsaken and did suffer in isolation for us. Jesus suffered in isolation. The question that you and I have to ask ourselves is, did he suffer for you? Did he suffer for me? If he did not suffer for us, if we are still in our sins, then we will spend an eternity in horrific torment, cut off from God, cut off from those that we love, in the fires of hell. But if Christ has suffered for us, then we will spend eternity in fellowship with him. We will know in fullness the truth that is a reality here and now that we know only by shadows. We will see in fullness his glory. And we will know full well that we are never isolated. And so, my brothers and sisters, my hope is that if you are a child of God this morning, that as Job has recounted his isolation, his suffering in isolation, and as it points us to the truth of Jesus Christ and the righteous one, whose cords were loosed by his Father, who was thrown and cast into the mire for us, we will come away with the comfort in knowing that when we suffer, though humanity may abandon us, our God never will. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that when we suffer in this earth, that we do not suffer alone. We know that all that we endure is by your hand. And there will be times when our cords are loosed. But we know, Lord, that we do not suffer alone as the righteous one, Jesus Christ, did. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly went to the cross for us, that your cords were loosed and you were cast into the mire, so that we might be removed from that mire and cleansed through your righteousness. And it is in your glorious name that we do pray. Amen.